sports, basketball. I was watching NASCAR a little bit Sunday afternoon after I got back from my ministry trip. And you watch all the commercials and you see everybody just getting all excited about, you see all the commercials, and every other commercial is a prescription drug, right? And they're just getting up there, and you see these guys and gals dancing about a little pill with a big story to tell. We have a reason to rejoice. We have a reason to shout this morning because Jesus Christ saved us and redeemed us. Amen. Aren't you thankful? Hallelujah. It was good to worship this morning. Y'all have a wonderful worship team, and so always enjoy hearing y'all worship, so thank you. But appreciate being here. If you weren't here before, I'm Matthew Perkins. I've come from Atwood, Illinois. I live in the area, left, came back. I've pastored in Lovington for 8 years, and then I've been doing traveling ministry, pulpit fill, help churches with worship for the last 5 years, enjoying it. And most importantly, I'm just a man who loves Jesus with all my heart. Amen. And so I hope, I'm glad to be here, and I hope you get something out of the Word today. But before we dive into the Word, I want to start with a joke to kind of break the ice again. I think you'll like this one, and it's at the Baptist's expense, so. But there's a story about a Baptist man who was the only Protestant in a large Catholic neighborhood, and every Friday during Lent, while his neighbors were eating cold fish, he was in his backyard grilling a steak. They couldn't stand the temptation, so they decided to try to convert him to Catholicism, and he finally agreed. A priest came over, sprinkled water on his head, said, "You were born a Baptist, you were raised a Baptist, but now you're a Catholic." The next year, on the first Friday of Lent, they smelled the same smell. They rushed over to his house, and he was in the backyard sprinkling water over his steak, saying, "You were born a cow, you were raised a cow, but now you're a fish." All right. Has nothing to do with the message, but on that note, let's go over to Matthew chapter 15, and we're also going to look at Mark chapter 7 if you brought your Bibles with you today. But I was praying the last couple of weeks when I knew I was going to be sharing here and just kind of asking the Lord down on the inside, what does Mount Zion Christian Church need to hear on this what's turned into be a beautiful spring. And as I was praying, I just kept hearing two words: unwavering faith. Unwavering faith. Say those two words: unwavering faith. And so we're going to call this a faith that doesn't waver. And I believe this subject can encourage and strengthen us no matter where you're at with your walk with God. How many of you know we're living in a time where people are wavering right now? People are back and forth. They're questioning their faith. They're questioning what's going on in the world. How many of you know the world's changed a lot, particularly in the last, 4 years or so? And it was heading a certain direction, and then even the last 4 years, 2020, all sorts of things have changed. And if we get to focusing on what's happening in the world, we can get very over into fear. We can get complacent. We can just, what does fear do? Fear paralyzes, and fear freezes us up. And we don't know where to move forward next. And we know people that were once on fire for God. They were excited. They were coming to church every Sunday. They were sharing the gospel, sharing the good news with everybody that they came in contact with. And then things happened, things changed, and they went through some stuff, and they've let the fire grow cold. And we've all been through some stuff. Anybody been through some stuff the last few years? Anybody been through some stuff this week? All right. Just seems like everything's just boom, boom, boom. And we all face obstacles and challenges, inconveniences, troubles, and even what people would call impossible situations. And people think when you're a pastor or minister, well, we go through stuff out here in the congregation, but pastors don't go through anything. Yeah, right. We go through the same stuff and the challenges and things, and there's times where it seems like there's impossible situations. And as we go through those situations, instead of building ourselves up in faith and building ourselves up with the Word of God, we get tired, and at times our faith begins to waver. And we've all been there and done that, worn the T-shirt. And I think a lot of times we think if we have enough faith, we can see a turnaround. And just say, "I don't have enough faith, and I just don't, my faith is wavering." The reality is, God has given us His faith. You know, Mark chapter 11, which is not what we're going to talk about today, He speaks to a fig tree. Now, when we think about that, it's just like, why is Jesus talking to a tree, right? He gives an example, and He tells that fig tree, nobody's going to eat from you again. And just on the surface level, it didn't look like anything had changed. That situation looked just the same when He spoke to it. So Jesus and His disciples and followers, they go into town, and if you read the story of Mark chapter 11, He does something interesting. He goes and flips tables at the temple, right? So He had a fun and eventful day. And then they come back the next day, about 24 hours later, come back through, and Peter acts surprised and says, the fig tree which you cursed is withered away. It's withered away. It's dried up. Now, he didn't see the instantaneous change when it happened, but when Jesus spoke and he used his faith, that tree died at the roots. And then he went on to say, have faith in God. And if you say to this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea and shall not doubt in his heart, but believe those things which he says shall come to pass, you'll have whatever you say. And so we have faith, and he also would talk about the faith the size of a mustard seed. You know, you can put a mustard seed in between your nail, fingernail, and the skin. And the reality is, with the faith that we have, if Jesus said it could move mountains, we need to use our faith, but we need to have a faith that doesn't waver. Amen? And so I want to look at the faith of this Canaanite woman, a Syrophoenician woman who, although not being a part of what we would call God's family at this point, received a great miracle because she had a faith that was persistent and she had a faith that did not waver. And here's the thing. We've got to understand when we look at this story, if she can get a hold of it as born-again believers, I don't know about you, but I'm glad I'm saved. And I'm thankful that we're part of the family of God. We're part of the blood covenant of the Lord Jesus Christ. And because of that, we can, how much more should we be able to receive the promises of God that He has for us? Amen? And so let's look at Matthew chapter 15 and verse 21, and we're going to read through verse 28, and it says this, then Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, Lord, have mercy on me, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, send her away, for she crieth after us. They were being good ushers, I guess, thought she wasn't supposed to be there. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then she came and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, it is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs. And she said, truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Even after what could have been perceived as an insult, she didn't give up. She was persistent. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee according as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Now, I want to look at Mark's account of this. And again, there's some things that each account brings out. It's just like if we're all at the same event and we talk about what happened at church this morning and we talk about the order of the service, there's going to be different things that are said because people had a different perspective. And in Mark chapter 7 and verse 24, it says, and from thence he arose and he went into the borders of Tyre and Sidon, into a house that would have no man know it, but he could not be hid. For a certain woman whose young daughter had an unclean spirit heard of him and came and fell at his feet. The woman was a Greek and a Syrophoenician by nation, and she besought him that he would cast forth the devil out of her daughter. But Jesus said unto her, let the children first be filled, for it is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs. And she answered and said unto him, yes, Lord, yet the dogs under the table eat of the children's crumbs. I can verify that. My dog, I dropped some crumbs this morning, and she was just on it. All right? But this woman would not be denied. And no matter what the circumstances were, she kept going forward and persisting, and her faith didn't waver. She answered, yes, Lord, yet the dogs eat under the table of the children's crumbs. And he said unto her, for this saying, go thy way, the devil is gone out of thy daughter. So you've got to understand something about history, and you got to understand why Jesus said what he said. He wasn't doing it just to hurl an insult. If you understand the Syrophoenician woman, or the Syrophoenician and the Canaanites, they were, in that time, the Syrophoenicians, the Canaanites were considered the scum of the earth to the Jewish people. They had their carnal gods. They would worship their carnal gods out in the street, and the smoke in the streets would fill the streets, and all these things with their evil sacrifices that they made. They had very pagan rituals. They hated Jehovah God. If you come to Bible study this morning, I'm going to hit a little bit more of the time that we were in at this point. But it was crazy some of the things that they did. Jesus wasn't necessarily calling her a dog as a direct insult. It was just they were not part of the family of God according to Jewish culture. But she persisted. She was unwavering in her faith and approach to the point where Jesus said, "Oh, great is your faith." And the woman didn't live a life of holiness, a godly life. She was considered an outcast, yet Jesus said, "Great is your faith." That's great news for us. Because now that we're part of the family of God, we've repented. Our sins were buried with Him. Our sins were cast upon Jesus on the cross of Calvary. Aren't you thankful for that? And because, not because of our performance, but because of what Jesus did for us at the cross of Calvary, He shed His blood for the redemption of sins that we just remembered just a couple of minutes ago. We have access into the presence of God. I'm thankful that we have a God that made it possible that the Holy Spirit could live in us. I'm thankful that we have a God that we can talk to. I'm thankful that we have the Holy Spirit that helps bring the Scriptures alive to us in the book, in this Bible. For all Scripture is profitable for doctrine and inspired by God. And I like what he said, that healing was the children's bread. Jesus' body was broken for us. And if this woman can understand something about faith, I think all the more so as us being children of God and in the family of God because of what Jesus did and accepting that, I think how much more should we be able to grab a hold of this today. You know, Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 23 says something that I love. Let us hold fast the profession, or your Bible translation could say confession, of faith without wavering, for He is faithful that promised. And you may be in a place this morning where it feels like your faith is wavering. And you may be questioning the reality of God. And you may be questioning the reality, maybe not the reality of God, but the reality of God working in your life. And let me tell you something this morning. He wants to get involved in every one of our lives today. He wants to walk with us and talk with us and call us His own. Just like the hymn says. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. That's what He wants us all to experience, that God walks with us, that He talks with us. And that no matter what situation we face, because we know He's with us, we know He will not fail us. And no matter what situations we face, He will bring us through, and He'll bring us through on the other side, and He'll bring us to a place of victory. Amen. And so if we're going to operate in a faith that doesn't waver, I'm going to do what I did last time. I'm going to give you 3 points today. They all begin with the same letter. They begin with the letter G. Because I want you to take this and get a hold of it today. Because if we'll walk in these principles in this story, we'll walk in victory. And I believe we'll get to a place where we're not wavering like we have in years past and in times past. So if we're going to operate in a faith that doesn't waver, we need to understand, number one, His goodness. Say the word goodness. You know, Matthew's account says, Matthew's my favorite book in the Bible. Some of you get that later, why it is, because you're having lunch. But Matthew's account says that a woman of Cana came out of the same coast and cried unto Him, saying, "Have mercy on me." Mark's account says that the woman had heard of Him. She had heard of Jesus, so she wanted to be there. Now, she didn't hear that Jesus was bad and grumpy and out to judge and criticize everybody. And again, this And to be clear, people get to saying, well, you're just saying you could go out and do whatever you want to do. God's angry with you. No, when you get a hold of Jesus, your life changes. But we've all missed the mark. And Jesus came to be a Savior. We couldn't live up to God's standards, so He had to send His Son, right? And so what do I believe she heard about Jesus? She heard that Jesus is good. She heard that Jesus is full of love and compassion. She heard that Jesus is a healer, that He's a deliverer. I'm sure the stories had gotten out in the community where they had talked about that, hey, Jesus was in this crowd and this person was healed. This person was brought great joy. I mean, Jesus was the guy. There was a funeral procession going on, and Jesus is the one that messed up the funeral, raised the young man up, and messed up the whole funeral procession. I mean, stories like that got out. John's accounts at the end says there's not enough books to contain all the things that he did, right? But we have some of these things for our benefit here in the Scripture. But people that get full of, quote, religion will many times try to talk you out of the simple reality and the simple truth that God is good. We know that the goodness, Scripture says that it's the goodness of God that leads us to repentance, right? And if the Syrophoenician woman would have heard the story that God is grumpy and God's out to get you and God's just angry all the time and He's out to strike people with lightning, I don't think she would have showed up. No, she heard a story that Jesus was good. And sometimes we paint this picture in the church world that God is schizophrenic, that sometimes He's good and sometimes He's not. Sometimes He's in a great mood, sometimes He's full of joy, and sometimes He's grumpy. Now, we understand that there's a righteous anger, and we see that particularly in Mark chapter 11 when He flipped over the tables, but at the same time, when it came to reaching people, we understand and recognize that Jesus is always full of love, mercy, and compassion and grace. Amen. And so, John 10 and 10, he says this, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. I like how the Amplified Translation puts that scripture. He says, he has life to the full until it overflows. We say this statement all the time. It's throughout the Psalms. 1 Chronicles chapter 16 and verse 34, it says, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever. But over and over, we can go through and we can look through the Old Testament and see the goodness of God in action. Psalm 27 and verse 13 says, I am confident I will see the Lord's goodness while I'm here in the land of the living. I was thinking this morning, I'm thankful that when we leave this earth, when we lay this body down, that we go to be with our Savior forever in eternity in heaven. I'm thankful for that, aren't you? But the psalmist in Psalm 27 is saying, I'm going to see the goodness of God right here where I'm at today. Now, some people just think salvation is fire insurance. But there's so much more than just fire insurance. God comes to live in me. And He wants us to experience His goodness. That means if He lives in me, His goodness is in me. And so if we'll be confident that we'll see the goodness of God, we'll change the way we look at perception. We won't have this, we won't be singing a song, doom, gloom, despair, and agony on me. We'll be singing songs of faith and shouting the victory, amen? And so we need to understand His goodness. Number two, we need to understand His grace. Say His grace. The woman asked for mercy, and initially Jesus didn't utter a word. He tells His disciples to send her away, and they're ready to be good ushers, get the disruption out of the service, right? So instead of immediately sending her away, He says in Matthew's account, I'm not sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And I love how she didn't give up. My pastor in Bible college used to say this, faith has an attitude of I cannot be defeated and I will not quit. In other words, no matter what the circumstances say, you keep going forward and you keep being persistent. She answers Jesus and says, you speak the truth. Jesus says that I don't take the meat and give it to the dogs. And yet she doesn't take it as an insult. She is persistent, and what does she say? Yeah, but the dogs, they get the crumbs. And that's accurate. And they get excited about the crumbs too, by the way. So that tells me two things. She says, the dogs eat the crumbs from the master's table. That tells me two things. Number one, she understood that Jesus truly was and is the bread of life. That's good news. She understood that he was master. Number two, he understood that he was master. She's referencing, if you look this up in the New Testament Greek, she actually calls Jesus Lord. In spite of everything he had said that seemed to the contrary, she still called him Lord. A lot of people miss that. And sometimes you'll go through seasons because we've gotten off, we've gotten busy, we've gone through some stuff, and because we've gone through this stuff and we're living in our circumstances, it seems like God is more distant from us than he was at other times in our lives. We all been there, but all done that, or is it just me? But let me encourage you and challenge you today that if you'll just get back into faith, if you'll just get back to a faith that doesn't waver, you'll experience that closeness again. The children's bread that he talked about was the grace of God. How do we receive the grace of God? Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8 puts it very simply. Paul put it like this. For by grace, what? We're saved, how? Through faith. In the new covenant, our righteousness is no longer as of filthy rags. Isaiah 64 paints this picture, talks about filthy rags. That's our own righteousness. But now we're in right standing with God through Jesus Christ. I don't know about you, but I'm thankful for that. If you don't believe it, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, if any person be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away and all things have become new. We can come boldly to the throne of grace, and if you look up the word grace in the Greek, it for Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 16, it talks about favor. In the Old Testament, Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. He found favor, and God spared him. How much more can we experience his favor? If this woman could access the grace of God by not being worthy, how much more as believers in Christ that has access to God can we receive the things of God and access the grace of God? Think about that for a little bit. If we get a grasp and understanding of his grace, like the Syrophoenician woman will tap into the amazing grace of God in every area of our lives. Amen. We'll walk in a faith that doesn't waver. One of the favorite scriptures, there was a television show back in the day, and some of you will remember WFHL Channel 23 back years ago. And I was on a kid's show. This was something that really got on, and the lady that did the show, get on board, asked me what my favorite verse was. And I was 8 years old. 2 Corinthians 5, 7, for we walk by faith, not by sight. I said it like that, and it's just like, oh, joy, right? But then you get on the train, it goes around. You know, that's my life scripture. And talking about looking forward, we need to walk by faith, live by faith, no matter what our circumstances say. It's a simple truth, but it's such a profound truth. It's by faith we access the grace of God. Amen. And number three, we need to understand his gift. Say the word gift. When the woman in verse 28 in Matthew's account, he says, a woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee as according as thou wilt. And if you look this up, it actually, and I have it here in my Bible, what you desire will be fulfilled. Her daughter was made whole from that very hour, and if you look that up, it means that very moment. Mark's account says when she got home, she found that the devil had gone out and was resting on the couch. Here's a few important things we need to understand when Jesus declared, "Be it unto thee according as you desire." Number one, the promises of God are the children's bread. I'm glad he didn't say it was the children's veggies, because I like bread better. Come on, if you go to Texas Roadhouse, you're not going for the green beans or the salad. You're going for the steak and you're going for the rolls. Come on, somebody. Somebody help me preach. Somebody help me preach. Oh, yeah. Somebody help me preach. All right. He said healing, but what does bread do? Bread sustains, right? It sustains us. She became a believer and received from the Master. Number two, we see there's no distance in prayer. Turn to your neighbor and say, "There's no distance in prayer." You could be, when God lays it on your, this is a little rabbit trail here. When God lays it on your heart to pray for somebody that's somewhere far, go ahead, you pray for them. There is no distance. Right? And so Jesus didn't have to lay hands on that person. He didn't have to anoint the daughter with oil. Right? There's no distance in prayer. The person who needed to receive the gift did not need to be present to win the prize. Right? I'm thankful for, you know, those, if you're in a drawing, okay? Thirdly, when the healing manifested, the girl was at rest. How many of you need to just, it just seems like you've been going, and you need to be in a place of rest. Hebrews talks about there is a rest for the people of God. And when it comes to our faith, sometimes people go around with their faith, they just act, I'm believing, until they're blue in the face. And they're confessing the word. There comes a point where you just got to know God will do what he said he would do. And you got to believe and act like that the Bible is true. Again, I said this before we started. We see those commercials and we'll put more faith in those commercials with those guys and gals that get to dancing about the little pill with the big story to tell. But we don't praise God or lift a voice to God because it's inconvenient. I'm tired. I know they're commercials, but if people get excited, you see people go to concerts, secular concerts, and they're just jumping up in the air, and back in the day, they'd jump, you know, get in the pit, just really go after it, right? That's what they call it. And yet we come to church, it's like, you know, we don't want to say anything optimistic, because sometimes we get so into what if we mess something up. There comes a point where faith has a rest. The girl was at rest, and we need to rest in this reality. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe on him would not perish, but have everlasting life. Again, there's so much more. I think it's interesting that we think about that as everlasting life being on the other side, not realizing that everlasting life starts the moment that you gave your heart to Jesus. And we see it demonstrated when we come out of the water and we say, it's an outward expression of what happened on the inside, that Jesus saved me, the sins have been buried, and I've come out, and in God's eyes, I'm clean. I'm no longer unclean. I'm no longer unworthy. That salvation starts when you give your heart to Jesus. We also need to realize that this is, again, so much more than fire insurance. I'm thankful I'm not going to hell. Yeah, but you know, God lives in you now. God is with you now. And he'll take you from victory to victory to victory. The Syrophoenician woman was able to stand in the gap for her daughter and receive. You know, one of the things that we need to understand is there's, when it comes to salvation, it's a package deal. It's a package deal. There's so many more things that God has for us. It doesn't mean that, I think a lot of times when we first get saved, we think that, oh, that means all my problems are over. But I will tell you this, I have testimony after testimony after testimony of what God has brought me through, and I can tell you, if it had not been for the Lord, I would not be here today. And I could also say that life with God should be the most fun, it should be an adventure of a lifetime. Amen. It should be an adventure of a lifetime. I'll share just, you know, I was thinking about the times where I've gone through, I'm not going to go into this whole testimony, I may share a little bit about it later, but I've seen God over and over touch my body, bring healing to my body, bring healing into my family's lives. I've seen Him turn impossible situations around. I was just thinking of a fun story. There was a minister that had a television ministry, still has it at the time. And when I was about 13 or 14 years old, I'm a worship leader as well, and so I remember, and you look in this church, and they have this huge grand piano, and the minister was talking about it, and he was saying that it wasn't an 88-key grand piano. It's like, well, it's not a true piano, right? No, it was a 95-key grand piano that was custom-made in France or something. It was on this platform. And even as a kid, I made this statement. I said, one day I will go to that church and play that piano. And I'm thankful that I had parents that didn't like to say, you can't believe. My mom would always tell me this. My dad would say similar things. But my mom would always say, the sky is not the limit. You know, we put limits on God, but the sky is not the limit. I just said it, okay? Now, I didn't confess it over and over, but every time I'd see this pastor on TV, this preacher on TV, and they showed that church, and I remembered he told that story, I would just be like, that's going to happen one day. Now, you're just like, you're crazy. Well, long story short, and this is not in the area. This is down in New Orleans. And I'm in Alabama, living in Alabama at the time. And I get this phone call, hey, can you come down and lead worship for this event at this church? I was like, that's interesting. Kind of somewhat out of the blue, except it was in a different building where the ministry was at. But when I got there and I found one of the pastors that was on staff there, and you got to understand, when you're down in Louisiana, they're Cajun down there. They don't say a whole lot. They're funny, but they don't say a whole lot. So I walked in, the pastor's like, oh, you're here, okay, good. He's like, we're going to go in the church, you're going to play that piano. And there it was. I hit all those 95 keys. It has three extra on the, three extra on the low end, four extra on the high end. I made sure I hit them all. Now that seems funny, but God will honor the desires of your heart if you'll just live a life of faith that doesn't waver. You know, I wasn't even really thinking about that at the time when it happened. I just had a faith that didn't waver. Now, sometimes we think, let me just give you one more thing and then we'll wrap this up. I get three or four closings, but this is my first closing. But when we trust God, we understand He'll do what He said you do. And there's things that God puts in your heart that sometimes they just don't seem like they don't instantaneously happen, but don't forget those promises. You don't have to just speak and speak and speak till you're miserable and blue in the face. What you do is you just rest in those promises. And somewhat out of the blue, that opportunity came. Now, that's a funny story, but it's a true story that happened, and God is faithful. And I could tell you stories of opportunities that He's opened up over and over and over that couldn't just be a happenstance. It had to be because of God's grace, because of God's goodness, and because of God's gift. Amen. And so, just remember, God wants us to experience victories and reward our faith if we'll just trust Him. Just like this Syrophoenician woman, we need to understand His goodness. Don't let the enemy, don't let your family, don't let your mother-in-law talk you out of His goodness. Your mother-in-law's in here today, do not look, okay? Don't let him talk you out of the good. Musicians better come up because I'm going to get myself in trouble. But don't let... We've all been around those religious folks, right, that have just been like, bless God, you have good intentions, but you could never obtain that. Well, I just learned believe for the best. And God is a rewarder of that. Hebrews 11 talking what about faith? Hebrews 11:6 says, "Without faith, it's impossible to please Him, and that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Are we going to make a decision here in 2024 to diligently seek him? We need to understand his grace. If we'll tap into his favor and understand that we can boldly come to the throne of grace, we'll begin to walk in the victories that he has provided for us. I don't know about you, but I'm thankful I'm a recipient of the grace of God. And number three, we need to understand his gift. Salvation is part of that, and there's so much in the package to unravel and to unfold. And we need to understand. Understand and recognize that even when you go through stuff, there's some things that you go through in life because you live in a fallen world. You can't help those things. But what you can do is, if you're breathing, raise your hand. There's only half the church that raised their hand. We need to call somebody right now. If you're in this room and you're breathing today, we have a testimony of the goodness of God, the grace of God, and the gift of God. And if we'll take these principles and if we'll walk in a faith that doesn't waver, we'll experience the promises that he has for us. Amen? We're going to open up the altar here, but we're going to sing a song. But I just want you to think about this morning, if your faith has wavered, God is not mad at you. All you have to do is make a decision. It's like, I am walking by faith. I will live a life by faith. I've had to repent. I don't know. I had to repent this week. Anybody else had to repent this week, or did you all live lives? Perfect life. Am I preaching in the first church of the perfected this morning? No. We all need a Savior. We all need help. And I'm thankful that when we mess up, get off track, and my faith was wavering in a certain area, God helped. He helped me get back on track. Amen. So take this. We're going to sing a song. I believe it's Lord, I Need You. And just worship with us, and then we'll close it out in prayer, but the altar is open.